Well, actually, that's a very appropriate song to what we're going to be talking about today. As we continue in our series, Songs of the Summer, today we're zeroing in on a particular song. But I have something I want you to look at here. We'll just ponder that for a minute. So, while you're looking at that, I'll tell you a little story. We just moved recently, and we have windows that look out over a little pond in our backyard. And every day out there is a flock of mallard ducks. And we just have a blast watching those ducks. And it reminded me of a little word puzzle that an elementary school teacher taught me, 40 plus years ago, not when I was in elementary school, but I was her pastor. She showed me a piece of paper and she said, "What does that say?" I said, "MR ducks C D C dead no C D E D B D wings M R ducks." I said, "That makes no sense to me." She said, "Say it faster." I said, "M or ducks? C D E D B D wings? M or ducks?" Oh my goodness. Well, I was reminded of that when one of the days we moved in, shortly after we moved into our house, I heard Sally out in the room that looks out over the pond, and she said, "Hello, duckies." And she was talking to M or ducks. C D E D B D wings? M or ducks? And she was enjoying them, and I enjoy them too. In fact, we've both gotten into the routine. First thing we do in the morning is crack open the shades. What are the ducks doing? And it's just been a hoot to watch. When we first were there, most of them were chicks, just young ones, little ducklings, about this big. Well, as time has progressed over the weeks, they've grown to full maturity, almost. And they're flying now. It's been a hoot to watch that process. And some days, they're across the pond, and they'll take off altogether. I don't know how they do this, but it's like those synchronized divers at the Olympics. They say, 1, 2, 3, go, and they all lift off at the same time, and they fly across the pond and go right in front of our window. Shoo, right there. See ya. Well, why do I talk about ducks? Really, ducks have nothing to do with this message today, except for the fact that they're part of creation. And we're going to zero in on Psalm 8 today, because Psalm 8 has some things to say about creation. And let me just read it to you, because sometimes we can buzz through these psalms and miss the real heart and focus of what it's saying. Psalm 8 says, it's a short psalm, only 8 verses, so follow along as I read. "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth! You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds of the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We've been talking about Psalms this summer under the theme Songs of the Summer. And if you've been with us, you know that several of the Psalms that we've focused on have spoken about creation, nature, and particularly children. Last week, Brent talked to us about Psalm 127, where it says, "Children are a heritage of the Lord. And blessed is the man whose quiver's full of them." And Brent models that for us. Brent and Carrie. 7 kids, right? But children, our focus of that psalm. Unless the Lord builds the house, it said, we labor in vain. We've got to have the children coming to do God's work. Before that, Brent and Amy talked about Psalm 139. And it says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You formed my being while I was in my mother's womb. And I can't go anywhere that you're not with me. If I run from you to the lowest hell, you're there. If I go to the highest heaven, you're there. You're always with me. You're always watching. You're always nearby. And here we read it again. Children. How did that say that? Children, through the praise of children and infants. Children and infants, you've established a stronghold. How many times have you used those words together in a sentence? Children and infants, stronghold. Children and infants, stronghold against what? Against your enemies to silence the foe. We don't often associate children and infants with silence either. But their noise shuts up evil in the plan and purposes of God. You've made us a little lower than the angels. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. That phrase, Lord, our Lord, in the Hebrew is a blending of two words. One is Yahweh. Yahweh means the incomprehensible God. The God I am. The God that just is and always was, always will be. The creator, the majesty, the great, incomprehensible creator God. Yahweh Adonai. Lord, our Lord. Yahweh Adonai means the God that I relate to. The God that I can know, the God that I feel and sense all around me. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, great God, my Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now notice it said in the psalm, he uses both all the earth, and then he goes on and says, your glory is set above the heavens. Now, this is the shepherd King David that wrote this psalm. He had many, many years of being afield in the dry and arid Middle East, modern or Judea, Israel, and he saw the heavens in all their glory. There wasn't any rain clouds usually. There wasn't any humidity. There wasn't any light pollution. He was out there and he could see the expanses of the heavens. And he said, your glory is set above all of that. And we need to understand that, because David wasn't talking about just some localized deity. He wasn't just talking about God as he deals with my circumstances today, as we hope God works things for my benefit and my favor. We tend to take God and we tend to shrink him down to our size and try to plug him into our situation and define him so it works for us. The psalmist says, you're bigger than that. You're way bigger than that. And all the earth and your glory is above the heavens. I already mentioned Psalm 139. Where can I go from your presence? Every realm and dimension of creation are imprinted with the majestic name of God. God is not hidden. God isn't hard to find. He's everywhere, all the time, majestically. The word majestic has synonyms like lofty dignity or imposing aspect. God has an imposing aspect in our world, in our circumstances. Stately, grand, noble, imperial, kingly, royal, regal, magnificent, splendid, august. All are synonyms according to dictionary.com. And it says that the Lord is mindful. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? That's that word mindful or mindfulness has gotten a lot of attention in our culture of late. We've been certainly talking about being mindful of God, mindfulness, in our spiritual formation themes that we've been working on for a number of months. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which are set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? We think of our own mindfulness. We think of it as quieting ourselves, centering ourselves. We think of getting focus upon God in the spiritual formation sense of things. We want to settle into God's peace and God's sense, the sense of God's presence. But that's us trying to be mindful of God. But what if we think of God being mindful of us? God singularly focused upon you and me and the whole world, all of humanity. God is mindful. We're never out of his sight. We're never out of his thoughts. We're never out of his attention. He's mindful of us. David is awestruck with the thought that goes all the way back to the garden, that God is specifically mindful of every human being. One commentator said, in view of God's handiwork and the limitlessness of his creation, David is awestruck by the Lord's concern for human beings and the position he gave them to rule over creation. The all-powerful God of the universe cares so deeply for us that he made us only slightly lower. The NIV says angels, but other translations, English Standard Version, and others say he made us slightly lower than himself. Incidentally, that word angels or in himself in the translations is the same word Adonai. He made us lower than the present God that we sense and know, slightly lower, expressed it through angels and expressed through the very nature of God. The all-powerful God of the universe cares so deeply for us, and he gave us authority over his creation. Now, I know that that might make some of us wince. We have authority over creation. Does that mean that it's ours to do whatever we want with? We can plunder it. We can sack it, extract it, drill it, abuse it, do whatever we want? No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying that he wants us to take care of it. He wants us to use it for life and health and healing and restoration and nourishment. He said to Adam and Eve, he said, I've given you everything that you need to sustain yourselves and be fruitful and multiply and tend it and take care of it. Jesus made reference to this in his own words. Now, before I go there, though, I want to go back. As we're developing these thoughts, I want to quickly again read this psalm. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea and all that swim, the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Children, animals, birds, fish, nature, trees, mountains, skies. How majestic is your name, Lord? I had a little story to tell. Back in the early 1970s, there's not very many people here right now in this room that even remember the early 1970s. But some of us do, and maybe you read some history and you know about it. But America spun out of the 60s, and it wasn't very healthy. We had really fumbled big time in a war. We had had, in the last 10 years, we had had three assassinations of key leaders. We had riots in the streets. We had all kinds of social upheaval. We had civil rights issues that were front and center. And then our president was caught in some major crime. The Watergate affair, ultimately leading to his resignation from the presidency. Inflation was on the rise. Now, I've heard reports that inflation today is worse than it's ever been. That's not true. I remember when inflation was 12% and higher. I remember when mortgage rates were at 18% back in that time. I remember when there were lines at gas stations because the oil embargo that wouldn't let us have but rationing of gas. So it was not a good time, and human beings have a way of working themselves into these predicaments periodically. it'll cycle around, and then we'll respond, and we'll work our way out of it, and we'll overcome, and we'll take a step forward, and then some other way we'll mess it up. But we were riding in the car one day, my dad and my brothers and I, and we were out hunting, and we got to talking about the state of things, and I was in my early 20s, just married, and my other brothers younger than me. One of my brothers, I won't tell which one, he said, "Well, I'm not going to have any kids. I'm just not going to. I don't want to bring kids into this dirty, nasty world that we live in right now." And I'll never forget what my dad said. You'd have to know my dad to fully appreciate this story, but he got that look and that twinkle in his eye, and he said, "Oh," and he said his name, "Oh." He said, "Don't worry about having kids. They won't hurt it. They're not going to hurt the world." Well, some of you know some of those kids. They didn't hurt the world. They've lived productive lives, and he did have kids, by the way, and they've had children, and the cycle goes on, and life goes on, and they're contributing and blessing the world around us. So this is a wonderful thing that Jesus talked about when he was here. You know, there's a story in Luke 18, verse 15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." The kingdom of God belongs to such of these. Present tense. Right now, these belong, these have, own, are part of the kingdom of God. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So Jesus was kind of put off by this indignation toward children, and he stepped in and he said, "Whoa, we're not going to be that way. You let them kids come to me, and you need to understand that they're our example." And then a little while later, he came into Jerusalem on his triumphal entry. And we read in Luke 19, verse 37 and following. I'm going to read it. 19, where am I? Lost myself here. Oh, Jesus came into town. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." So here we have, let the children come and let the praise come. And if the praise is shut down, the rocks are still crying out. The mountains are still crying out. I preached a few weeks ago, "Where does my help come from? I look to the mountains. Where does my help come from?" My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Glory, praise, magnificence, majesty. It's a voice. Children unaware of creeds and doctrines, incapable of reading the scriptures, untainted by power structures and institutions. It's a voice that harmonizes with the rocks, the wildlife, the seas, the stars, the sun, the moon, all declaring, "How majestic is your name in all the earth." We must not make the mistake of the Pharisees, who thought they were the privileged and righteous ones who knew how to properly speak of God. We can get so parochial and tribal in our thinking that we just think it's all about us and our little comfort zone. Do you realize that in the United States of America, we only have 4.7% of the world's population? That means 96%, approximately, 90%, 6% of all of these little lower than God sons and daughters live elsewhere. The ones he's mindful of. The ones whose babies and infants, in their gurgling and their sighs and their squeals of joy and laughter and their crying, all come before God as a declaration of praise and authority to his name and his presence and his ownership of the earth. And we deceive ourselves into thinking that we can organize and make rules and laws and impose power in a way that just makes it work for us and we're the only ones that matter. No, we all matter. You matter. Your parents matter. Your grandparents matter. Your children matter. Your babies and infants matter. And we all together, not even realize it so often, we all together are lifting praise to God Most High. Jesus saw that innocence and open-mindedness of the little ones over time has a silencing and shutting down effect upon the enemies of God. But we heard this morning about the ministry of the, Threads? Base of Threads. And what an incredible ministry that this church has supported. This last week, we had members of our youth group in the Twin Cities, doing service in a number of different ways, with joining together with other youth from other communities and churches, doing service in that city to places of need. We've sponsored churches and funded the planting of churches in India. We've done ministry in Haiti. We've gone to Native American reservations and done hard work and made contributed vehicles and all sorts of things there. We give every week. We talk about giving to the food bank. This week, some of our members here were working down the street at the community garden that feeds healthy, organic food to people in need, vegetables of all sorts. We give 10% of what we give here. The impact of this little church, that's just one little church, that is multiplied by millions, microcosms of how God takes our children, takes us, and uses us to express his presence and name in all the earth. I have to tell you about something that's been happening to me. I'm up here speaking, and because I'm up here speaking, I get to go to the ministry team, sermon team meeting Monday mornings, where we talk about what's on tap for this week, what's the best way. We put our minds together. We're sensitive to God's leading as we do it, try to be anyway. what does God want to shape the message for this week? Whatever I'm saying here today is a fruit of the discussions we had last Monday, and so it is every week. But I have, when I come in here on Monday morning, about 10 o'clock, out on the playground, it's the same time the little, I would say 2 and 3 year olds in our Ashworth Learning Center that has 100 kids in attendance are out on the playground. And I'm telling you, I try to stand back. I don't want to run up there and spook them and draw attention to myself. I like to stand back as I get out of my car in the parking lot and just watch them. If you want something to do in the morning about 10 o'clock, you ought to come by here and take a sneak peek at what these little children are like out there in that playground. Now, I know parents that have toddlers, that might not be an enthusiastic activity for you. I get it. My kids were 2 and 3 once. We had a visitor at our house one time watching my son when he was, I don't know, 2 or 3, running around the house. He said, if that kid lives to be 5, you should give him a medal. Because my son, Eric, would ram through the house, and he'd come down the hall, and he was going too fast to make the turn down the hallway, and he'd slam right into the wall, scream and giggle and yell and cry, and other messes that children do. But you watch them little kids out there. The other day, I came and I saw them, and there was a table. I guess it was a table. I'm not sure what it was. I didn't look that close, but there was a cluster of these little ones around the table. And I thought, what are they doing? And I realized that they were bending down and picking up rocks off the playground, and they were organizing those rocks around the table as a committee. And they were being creative in how they were doing it. No, put it there. No, okay, put it there and put it. I thought, out of the mouths of infants and children, you have perfected praise. That's God speaking right through those little children. I just thought, whoa, how awesome is that? That's what this psalm is talking about. And so when we come around to the beautiful name of Jesus, and we realize that Jesus, when it came time for him to come personally, God in the flesh, he came as a baby. He went through birth. He went through messy diapers. He went through toddlerhood, training and correction and instruction. He grew in the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord. And he went on to assume his calling with the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit upon him. And he modeled in the things he said, he modeled such a wonderful thing. He taught his followers that God builds strong defenses out of human vulnerabilities. The disciples said, hey, we're going to line up with you, Jesus. We're going to be a part of your crew, and we're going to sit on the throne with you. And Jesus said, no, guys, that's not the way it's going to work. He said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you're going to have to learn how to be servants. You're going to have to learn how to have the same heart for humanity that I have. You're going to have to learn how to love your neighbors as well as love your enemies and even pray for them. You're going to have to learn how to give and not be always focused on acquisition. You're going to have to learn how to speak blessing rather than cursing. God perfects his praise through weakness. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned that when I am weak, then I am strong. It's the flip side of the way we human beings in our own thought processes try to think of things. We want to organize everything for our control and our benefit and manipulate things around us to work for us. God says, majestic God says, give, love, serve, humble, care, be kind. God isn't looking for domination. God is looking for service and compassion and mercy and generosity and peace. And he brings us into the world to get it done. And he's watching us and with us every step of the way. In the book of Revelation, in the vision that the revelator saw, Jesus introduces himself. And he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. That's the way this psalm goes. The psalm says the same thing. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Verse 1. Verse 8, after telling us all this other stuff, what a potent little 8 verses, by the way, if you pause and meditate on it and think it through. He concludes it. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That you might say, well, I haven't been noticing God lately. I don't think I feel God. Well, we all deal with that because you have to look for it. You have to be open to sense it. It's there all around if we look for it. But the enemy, the avenger that the psalm speaks of, does everything in possible to get you and me to think about something else, to distract away from the majestic presence and power of God. We are culturally ADD, consumed by commotion and distraction and busyness and hubbub. We got to get to where David was when he says, the babies, the children, the animals, the rocks, the mountains, the skies, the glory of it all, God's name is there. Help us, Lord, to see, to feel the reality that your name is majestic in all the earth. Amen.